bring the municipal code enforcement board for the city of Ocala to order this July 12, 2012, 5:30 PM. To start, Giorgio, can you give us the invocation, please?
Heavenly Father, we ask for your guidance tonight as we review the cases before us, and that our judgment be just. Amen.
Amen. Rise for the Pledge of Allegiance.
Behind you.
Pledge allegiance
to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Roll call, please.
Mrs. Cully?
Here.
Mr. Sparkman?
Here.
Giorgio?
Here.
Mrs. Brown?
I'm here.
Mr. Bockovich?
Here.
We have a quorum. Mrs. Wilson and Mrs. Ruth Laird are both excused.
Okay, thank you. Let's go ahead and swear on the officers.
Do you swear or affirm that the evidence you're about to give will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
Yeah.
Thank you.
Please the board, for the record, Lorraine Kennedy, Dwayne Thomas, Matthew Lifefree, Charles Rich, James Vaux, and Raymond Furring accepted the oath.
Okay, and before we get started, if you have a cell phone on you, if you can turn it off or silence it for the duration of the meeting, we appreciate it. Chip, if we've got somebody present you'd like to have come first.
Yes, sir.
Please proceed.
We have a couple here present, represented. Good evening, board members. My name is Charles Rich. I'm with the city of Ocala. I'm the duly appointed code enforcement manager. I'm certified by the Florida Association of Code Enforcement and certified in all four levels of training. I've been the code enforcement manager for more than 4 years. I have 30 years of law enforcement experience. I'll be presenting your cases this evening. To please the board, we proceed with case in order that they arrive this evening. CON 12-1237 on page 4 of your agenda. The city of Ocala versus Carlson Doris Ballou, Byron Warner, and no collateral bail bonds. This is a case involving Officer Raymond Furring. A location at 2940 West Silver Springs Boulevard, Ocala, Marion County, Florida. We do have an amendment to the violations of Section 110.3, definition of off-site advertising, and Section 110.131, prohibited signs. The parcel ID is 22775-004-02. Legal services obtained 6, 9, and 11, 2012 for the notice of violation and the notice of hearing. The property was posted on 6-6-2012 for the notice of violation and notice of hearing. As part of your correspondence in your packet, we've included a copy of the occupational license application and SunBiz report. A summary of findings that Officer Raymond Furring located this property and observed the property is in violation of the city's code as stated. Additional investigation revealed the property has had many other cases with this respondent stemming from 2008, 2009, 2010, and finally in 2012 for the same violation. However, they brought the property in compliance prior to the CEB hearing. All attempts by Officer Furring to have the response remedy this violation have not been successful. Staff has a recommendation. At the end of your presentation, I've included copies of photographs. To start up at the beginning, page one of the photographs, these are some photographs that myself and Officer Baker exposed in previous cases that we had with this respondent. When they were located in another location in the city, as you're aware, city code and state law states that if you are the same respondent in previous cases, they all count, no matter whether or not you move or not. They were using a different vehicle, which after some time and great deal of effort, we were able to get them to remove. You'll see we had it in 2008, another case in 2009. I took these pictures in 2008. And then finally in 2012. Advertising this nature is not authorized by the code. They have advertising on their building. It's not allowed anywhere in the city. And our staff recommendation will reflect our continuing problem with this situation with these respondents. Staff recommendation, we find respondent guilty of violating city code section 110.3 and 110.131. Order to remove. any unpermitted signs, flag, banners, and not place any additional signs upon the property without permit as stipulated in the code, and pay a fine of $250. And finally, pay the cost of prosecution as assessed in the case, all within 14 days, failing which, a fine of $50 per day, and the city to do the work utilizing any means required, with all costs and fines assessed as a lien. After 90 days of non-payment, refer to the city attorney's office for consideration of foreclosure. Officer Furring is here and prepared to answer any questions that you may have. If not, I'll call the respondents and allow them to testify in this case.
Officer Furring, do you have anything else to add at the moment?
Do you have any additional information to give to them?
Do you have any other information you want to add?
No, I don't have any other information. Okay. He's right now in compliance, so the truck's been removed. However, since we have so many cases on him prior, so we need to obtain an order.
Okay. All right, we'd like to hear from the respondent then. Yeah, come up to the podium. And be sworn in.
Please raise your right hand. Do you swear or affirm that the evidence you're about to give will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
Yes.
State your address, your name and address for the record.
My name is Byron Warner. I live at 801 West Main Street, Tiberias, Florida.
Thank you.
The truck was taken up to that property by an employee that I brought with me. I, at the time, did not know the truck was up there. The truck, I own offices from Jacksonville all over. The truck is used at all the different locations for moving stuff around. I also am told that the truck was taken to his house, and there was a complaint about that. I didn't know that either. So would you like to hear from the person that works for me?
Do you guys want to hear from them?
Not really.
I don't think that's necessary.
Okay.
No. I guess what we're looking for is the city has a complaint against this vehicle being used in the capacity it's using, and it hadn't just happened here recently. It's been happening for years.
I understand that. But also, y'all have vehicles in the city like Family Tire with a U-Haul truck that has writing all over it. You have Goodwill parking beside me. Goodwill's right beside me with semi-trailers. So I'm a little confused how some areas of the zoning is allowed and not allowed.
Yeah.
They've explained that to me, but at the time I asked him, I didn't understand why the truck was up here. The truck is stored at another county.
Okay. Chip, you did explain, or the officer explained to him, the difference between the writing on his vehicle as opposed to writing on a...
We've had cases on those as well.
Yeah.
Particularly Family Tire. Now, the Goodwill Industries that's next to them, they don't park it out front of a highway like this.
Mm-hmm.
They park it back on their lot. So there's times when they're unloading items in through their front doors that they park it in front of their building, but they're actively loading and unloading. He is correct. There was an offense at this gentleman's house as well. I forgot to bring that up.
Mm-hmm.
But can't be parked in R1 or in any residential zone for any reason.
Right. Okay.
May I, Your Honor?
Well,
real quick.
No.
My argument is also he was unloading that to bring tile in and equipment. That's his job. He
mm-hmm.
tiles, he maintains all my properties, he fixes my air conditionings. He drywalls, he does all the repair work. Now, at the time, he did not, was aware that I've had problems in the past
mm-hmm.
from other properties. So when he pulled up, he was using a handicap ramp, which if you look at the property, the handicap ramp is right at that access, right
mm-hmm.
there to where he is totally going up and down.
That's Daytona's board of it.
Sir, you can't. Speak, please.
And also, it's a different phone number to my Daytona office, so it wasn't intentional trying to make a...
I guess the thing is, even when it was at his home, you're saying that he was picking up tile or moving something
tools,
for you in the...
Going to bed.
The problem with it is that it was parked there, and it can't be parked there overnight for certainly. It's just supposed to be for the duration of the time you're loading and unloading.
Okay.
So, and, you know, the case the city's bringing against you is that this has been going on since 2008, that you have been told before. So that's what we're having to take into consideration here. Why is it still going on?
Well, like I said, the truck is kept in the city of Tiberias. I do not have this problem in Tiberias. The truck, I didn't even know was up here.
Yeah, but I don't know what the code is in the city of Tiberias. All I know is that we are just interpreting what the code is here in Ocala. So when the truck's here in Ocala, you have to abide by the code as it's written here.
Okay.
So,
I mean, you have a lot of other vehicles that I've gone around and taken photos of.
And we've
within
and
the
there's
city
been complaints
from
about
printing
those
companies to car dealerships to U-Haul companies. And I'm not understanding if he's saying that the code of the Goodwill beside me does bring the truck up. That would be the same thing of him unloading that vehicle, doing the same thing going up my handicap ramp that I was made to put in at the time, even though that property is still Golden Groves Farm too, because Mr. Barber still is in that building right there, that has owned that, you know, sold all that land. And we've had to jump through the hoops of the signs. That's why we moved from the first building. We were told we couldn't use the property for that reason. So we went and bought this property from Mr. Barber in order to get away from the confrontation of dealing with the city when it was a residential. I still own that too, the residential, which had that.
Well,
that.
I think the difference between the Goodwill and what you're doing is that Goodwill might be up front and they load and unload and then they park it around back when they're done. When you're unloading or unloading, it's still being left out front, which is against code. So,
but if you're using a ramp,
you're using the ramp to load it and unload it. I understand that. When you're done loading and unloading, it's got to be parked behind the building.
I think the city's position there is you're using it as a sign.
Yeah.
But
and there's a code in the city of Ocala that says that you don't have so much signage for that piece of property.
And I'm not disagreeing, but that would make sense if I have a Daytona phone number on a truck that he drove up.
But it doesn't. That's irregardless because it's advertising the business.
Right.
Okay. What's the solution you want? Are you to find me, or what is the solution to resolve the problem?
Well,
the truck's gone. The truck never returned.
Right, and that's what the officer said is that you're currently in compliance. But that we've had so many repeat issues from 2008, 2010, and then currently, and Chip, other times, or
2008, 2009, 2010, and now.
So what they're asking us to do, and you did you understand this draft recommendation of the city as it was read? What they're wanting us to do is find you guilty of violating the city code, which you are, in my opinion. I mean, the board hasn't made a decision, but from what we've seen in the testimony we're hearing from both of you, you know, you have been told before that you're not supposed to be using it that way, and it's still happening. So my opinion is that it's still a violation of the code. And that you're supposed to remove all abandoned and untagged inoperable vehicles, which they've already been removed, so you're already in compliance there. Remove any unpermitted signs, flags, banners, and not place any additional signs upon the property without permit as stipulated in the code, which has already been done, and pay the fine of $250. That's up for discussion. Pay the cost of prosecution, which will have to happen, because there's a cost associated with having to bring you here today. And then all within 14 days. And then they're asking if it's not in compliance, which you are, that the fine would be $50 a day and the city would remove the equipment. So basically this is just trying to drive home the fact that you can't leave that vehicle out front.
I understand that. I mean, the vehicle's been gone ever since he was done doing what he was doing.
Right, right. But if they're driving around and they see it out there again and they feel like it's being used, if you're not loading, unloading, and they feel like you're using it as a sign, and then it's going to end up being a problem. You're going to be a repeat violator.
Let me ask this weird question. How come he only has a picture of the side of it, not the rear of it, showing the door open or any of that? See, that's where I'm confused of you fining me the money, but yet you didn't pull onto the property to look to see if it was even being used to unload or anything.
Okay, give me just one moment. Officer Farring?
Yes.
Did you witness whether the back of the vehicle was open or being loaded or unloaded at the time you took the photos?
I did not went to the back to the vehicle, but I drove around a half a day on this Saturday. Several times I passed this truck and I did not saw anyone around this truck loading, unloading, or whatsoever, just the truck itself.
Okay.
About a half a day, I don't know about the other half of the day, but...
Okay. Does the board have any more questions from the city or the respondent?
I have one for Chip.
Yes, sir.
Chip, on the times that you've been out there yourself, did you notice them unloading and unloading?
Yes, sir.
Truck? Okay, so in your opinion, they were using it as a sign. Is that correct?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
That might, on this truck, yes. I think he's correct, but then he's going back to the RV, which is stuff that's...
Well, I think the issue here is that several times you have used trucks in that location as a sign, and this time this truck was, you say unloading, it may have been, but the officer did not see you do that, you know? So we have to assume that you was using it as a sign.
Okay.
Okay.
Now, what's the difference between that U-Haul truck and the bondsman? What road is that, 10th Street? What is the difference between my U-Haul truck and his truck having signage all over his van? Omar Bell Bonds has this car or van all over.
Well, I'm not familiar with that Bell's Bondsman, sir. I can't answer that question. Can you, Chip?
I didn't understand the question.
Okay.
Apparently, there's another bondsman that has a vehicle that it has lettering or...
All I can say is, as we've seen these violations, we have cited them and brought them forward.
Okay.
We have two more coming real soon.
All right. Okay. I'm looking at the amount here. One second.
I moved that we...
I want some discussion first.
Are you prosecuting for the abandoned and derelict vehicle?
No, sir.
Okay, so you're not prosecuting for 34-121 or 34-122 or dropped?
34-121 and 34-122, just 110-3 and 110-131.
Okay. What is the cost of the bringing the case?
I'm sorry?
Oh, here, I found it. 108.70. Okay, discussion amongst the board. Okay, so we've dropped 34-121, dropped 34-122. I would accept a motion, or I can't accept it, but I would entertain a motion to accept the guilty on 110-3 and 110-131. He's already in compliance, and he's got $108.70 to pay for fees. I don't know if you want to hit him with the $250 or not. I'm thinking no, but you could split it or do away with it or have it all. I mean, I don't know what y'all think, because we got the 108.70, and if they do come back, they'll be a repeat violator, and I'd just say we would have no, I wouldn't feel like we would owe them any relief if they came back as a repeat.
Well, I think we should accept staff recommendations.
Make a motion.
Let's see, 110.3.
Yeah, I'd be guilty of 110.3 and 110.131.
And 110.31.
And then it would just be?
The 250 plus the cost. The 108.7.
So accept that as is, except remove the 34-121.
Yes.
Is that your motion?
That is my motion.
I second it.
Okay, we have a motion from Donald and a second from Giorgio. All in favor?
Aye.
It passed unanimous. So what this means is that you have 14 days to pay a $250 fine for putting the sign out there against city code. And it was determined basically because you've been notified over a period of several years and it's still happening. You have that and the case costs to come up within 14 days.
And that's what, 108?
It was 108.70.
Y'all have some type of...
Yeah, do you have something you can give them?
Give me for the fine?
The order. You'll be receiving a...
He'll be getting an order, but is he gonna get it in 14 days, I mean?
Yes.
Okay. All right. All right, sir.
That's it?
Thank you very much. Yes, sir.
All right, thank you.
You're welcome.
Please, the board, we have additional representation here this evening on page 3 of your agenda. CON 120657. This case is the City of Ocala versus Henry Graham. The officer is Raymond Furring in this case. Location is the 1500 block in Northwest 12th. I believe that address is incorrect. Is it the 1500 block of Northwest 16th Avenue? Or 12th Street? 1500 block of Northwest 12th Street, Ocala, Marion County, Florida. A violation of section 3495, 50, 103, 5830, 6262, 122, 283, 122, 311, 122, 312, 122, 1193, and 122, 1242. The parcel ID is 25587-000-00. Legal services obtained on 5/29/2012 for the notice of violation and the notice of hearing. We posted the property on 5/24/2012 for the notice of violation and the notice of hearing. And we would require a business tax certificate if for an appropriate business in this location. The summary of findings that Officer Raymond Furring observed this violation of city's code is stated above in March of 2012 and has been attempting to work with the respondent since that time. The respondent is conducting a business at this location without permit in an area not permitted for such business. Additionally, in violation of the junk and debris code and utility trailers upon the property. Additional investigation revealed that the respondent has had other violations from 2004 through 2010, all of which the respondent cooperated with CE in resolving. However, the respondent, after having numerous conversations with CE Officer Furring, has failed to comply with the codes. All attempts by Officer Furring to have the respondent remedy the violation have failed and the violations remain. The staff recommend, as part of your presentation, I've included copies of the photographs at the end of your presentation. I would also note that on page 13, actually, if you go up a little bit further,
these on July 11th, what is this?
Well, we have several photographs in there from different periods of time. The one from July 11th, I think that's the one I'm trying to get to here.
It's July 10th.
July 7/11, okay. If you look at the bottom of page 12, you'll see an orange cone towards the center left of the picture on the other side of the highway.
Right.
That orange cone is 2.5 power poles back, which is 250 feet. The code requires a sight triangle from the stop bar where this photograph is being taken 250 feet back. Obviously, as indicated in the photograph, from the stop bar at the stop sign, the traffic triangle of 250 feet is blocked from vision. So when people stop here, our complaint is that they can't thoroughly see vehicles approaching them without pulling out past the stop bar, which puts them, of course, in violation of state law, and to see vehicles approaching from the south.
Okay.
So that's a portion of the code for the requirements, 5103. 5831 is also covered under that statute. Section 60, 6262 is his violation of not having a business tax certificate and conducting business. I think our photographs clearly indicate that he is selling items of furniture, used appliances, and conducting a car wash at this location from time to time. At the bottom of page 2, we have indication of the car wash activity at the bottom and top of page 2. Again, an additional violation of the code in chapter 6262. Section 122.283 is the sale of used merchandise, and it's prohibited at this location. Section 122.311 is the intent and purpose, and section 122.312 is permitted uses of the code, which designate what is allowed in an R1A. He lives in an R1A district, and a car wash, used furniture sales, secondhand sales, and sales of appliance is not an authorized use. Section 122.1193, the parking of trailers and commercial vehicles. If you look on the property, you'll see there's two storage trailers there. That is the violation of that code. And then 122.242 are the visibility setbacks and requirements for that fence to be set back to the point where it does not obstruct view from the property. Having said that, Officer Furring is prepared to answer any questions, and the staff recommendation is to find the respondent guilty of violating City Code Section 3495, 50, 103, 50, 831, 62, 62, 122.283, 122.311, 122.312, 122.1193, and 122.1242. Order to clean up the property, properly removing any junk and debris, remove all obstructions from the property that block the traffic vision triangle of 250 feet from the stop marker on the roadway. Obtain a business tax certificate for an authorized business use in this district. Not conduct any unpermitted and not properly zoned business on the property. Remove all unauthorized storage trailers from the property, and ensure proper setbacks are established for items that are left on the property. Finally, pay the cost of prosecution of the case as assessed, all within 60 days. We felt we needed to give this gentleman some additional time, even though we have been working with him since March. This will be a feat to fix this. Of course, that's all within your purview to determine the time frame. Failing which, a fine of $25 per day per violation, and the city to do any additional cleanup and removal of property left upon the right-of-way, utilizing any means, with all costs and fines assessed as a lien, and after 90 days of non-payment, refer to the city attorney's office for consideration of foreclosure. Prepared to answer any questions you may have. This may seem a little bit complicated, but I hope we address each of the individual issues.
Chip, I have a question for
you.
Yes,
sir.
When you said obtain a business license, it's in an R1 zoning?
He's in an R1, R1A. So he is permitted, I believe, two business types in there. A daycare and a home occupation of one chair barber, mm-hmm. and a single chair for a barber. And of course, he could have an administrative office for additional business.
Okay, so everything that we see in the photos right now, conducting business, cannot attain a business license to begin with?
No, sir. Okay. Cannot conduct any of this business
okay.
that we've pictured here at this location. And we have had a continuing problem going on for numerous years at this location, but this time we have not been able to stem it, and we are asking for a board order so that we have additional problems.
Okay.
Do we have any more questions for the city?
Are you prosecuting the weeds accumulation of trash?
Just the junk and debris, not weeds. It's the same charge, but
it's under the same section.
Correct. It's under the same section.
So we're not looking for weeds. It's the
no, sir.
Well, it's accumulation of trash or other unsightly or unsanitary matter.
That's what we've used typically for the junk and debris.
Well, it's going to be debris, cans, trash, or other unsightly or unsanitary matter. I'm just concerned about the evidence as to that.
Typically, where we've used that is indoor furniture being placed outside is not its intended purpose, and it is therefore unsightly.
Okay, I got you. Okay, thanks.
All right, do we have the respondent, Henry Graham, present? Can you come forward, please? Go ahead and come on up and be sworn in.
Please raise your right hand. Do you swear or affirm that the evidence you give will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
Yes.
State your name and address for the record.
Henry Graham, PO Box 4871, California, 34478.
Thank you.
Okay, Mr. Graham, what would you like to say about the city's comments?
Not very much. As far as the fence being, whatever he said, obstructing the stop sign and traffic turning off of Martin Luther King. You guys bought 20 feet of my property. Before I put the fence up, I was talking to, I don't know, someone from the city, because I told them I had the fence up. So we took the fence back. And the guy told me that indent when you turn the curb, that was okay because you pull to the stop sign, you can see. I mean, I don't want to argue none of this right here. Whatever you guys want me to do, except for the trailer, I stole my lawnmower, my weed eaters and stuff like that in there. Anything other than that, the things that I do, the stuff that I get, people give it to me, even like today they call me, you know, TV washer dryers and stuff like that. And I do sell some of it, I give some away. But whatever you guys want me to do, it's all right with me.
Well, Mr. Graham, you know you can't run a business at this location. Our car wash.
I don't personally call it a business, but I guess if you're selling something, it's a business.
Yes, sir. If you're running a car wash there, there's codes.
Car wash. I do wash my car. Several vehicles of mine from here from time to time. But as far as a car wash being ran there, there's not a car wash brand ran there. And I do wash outside instead of inside. For whatever reason.
So you're telling the board that you do not have a business here.
I do not.
And you just take like you just take all this stuff and put it outside on the edge of the road and display it, or
no? You misunderstood what I said. I said I do sell some of it.
Yes, sir.
You know, and people come by. I tell you if you come by, I'm not trying to sell it, but you can make me sell it if it's something you want to buy. I'll sell it to you. Mm-hmm. But as far as personally having a business.
Well, we constitute that as a business, sir.
Okay, well, I don't have a business. Yeah. You see, I have a business. I shut the business down. Yeah. Listen, here again. Whatever you guys want me to do,
yes, sir.
I'll do it. 1 minute I'm in compliance, next minute I'm out of compliance. 1 minute, that's because that's how to get the stuff, you know. And the stuff that I get, I don't have to do anything with it. I can pass it on. Mm-hmm. Charlie, Tim, Tony, Mike, Kat, it doesn't matter to me.
Yeah, but if you put up a sign, sir, that says garage sale.
Say it again?
You have a sign up that says garage sale.
No, my nephew was up there with me at that point in time when you saw a garage sign or whatever, because I never put one up. They put one up. He put one up because he bought some stuff down there to sell, and it was his doing.
See, that means sale, you know, when you have garage sale.
Okay, it was his doing.
Okay,
but then again, like I said, I'm not here to nothing, whatever you guys want me to do.
Yeah, I mean,
I like to keep my trailer though because I keep my stuff in it.
I have to admit the evidence produced by the city is pretty.
Say again?
The evidence that the city produced is pretty, blatant. I mean, it looks like you're running a business there to me. But
okay.
Chip, I mean, what exactly? You just want to go with the staff recommendation? Is what you're asking for?
We're asking for a fine.
What would he have to do on the as far as the fence blocking the vision?
Probably would have to remove some of those board slats.
And just so
he could
see
through
it.
Okay.
What about his trailer?
Which trailer's not a permitted use there?
Is it a regular utility trailer?
No, it's like a back of a box truck, it appears to be to me. With a roll up door.
Okay. Is it one of these pictures?
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
like a pod, one of those pods.
Well, it's actually a box truck off of a track, you know, like a tractor trailer. It's the box truck. It's a small one, which has a roll-up door. It's no tires, nothing like that. It just sits on the rear bumper and utility pole.
Yeah, but from what we're hearing and the way the code's written, you're not allowed to have that kind of trailer. Am I wrong?
In this area? Which one is the trailer being cited?
It's the white trailer that's alongside the fence, the north side of the fence.
What's the code violation?
122.1193. And I have a copy of the statute in details, officer details section. I have each number.
Yeah, no travel boat, utility, or horse trailer should be parked or stored in the R1, R1A, R1AA, R2, or R3 district in any front or side yard. And you said it was an R1A?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, so that type of trailer is not allowed on the property that you've...
No, it's allowed on the property. It can't be in the front
not
or
the front
side,
side
yard.
It has to be in the back.
You have to have it in the backyard.
Is there a backyard to put it in?
Is it a backyard to put it in?
There's only a back portion of the property. I guess if you put it towards the southeast corner of the property, we could call that the back. I think the city's willing to work with the gentleman if he's willing to work with us.
On the rest
I mean,
of it?
It's defensible.
Is that something you'd work with him?
There is no house there. The property appears to front 12th Street, so logically if it went to the southeast corner of the property, that would be considered the back of the property if there was a house there.
Oh, this is a vacant lot?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, I don't know if that changes things.
I would leave that to the city attorney's interpretation.
There's no house. Is your house next to the property?
No, sir. It's just a vacant lot that I bought years ago. That house next to my property doesn't belong to me.
I can't do that.
That's a tough one. Because the code says front or side yard. It doesn't say anything about actual house there. But I don't know if I have a front or a side. There's a street that would be considered the front, though, correct?
Yes, sir.
If you put a house there, there would be a...
It would address
the front.
12th Street. Assuming.
And then the side, if the house was there, there would be a side of that on the, because it's on a corner?
Yes, sir.
Okay. I think it doesn't say anything about having to have a house, so I think you'd have to put it in what would be the backyard.
Right.
If there was a house there.
Mm-hmm. And that's why I had it before. I just moved it from the back to the front because the property is residential and the frontage and the sides and the back there, if it was a house there, it would be a backyard.
Okay. Well, I'm going to interpret it that you don't have to have a house, but you'd have, if there was a house there, consistent with everybody else on the street would put their house in the middle of the lot, you need to put it in the, not on the side or the front, but where the backyard would be.
Okay, given that, does the board have any more questions for Mr. Graham or the city?
Mr. Graham, if we pass our recommendation, staff recommendation on you, you know you're not to operate a business or to sell any more off that corner. Or have your car wash off the corner or display your goods on that corner any longer. And that you'll have to take some of them slats out of the fence so that people can see around that corner.
That's the part I'm not understanding, take some of the slats out of the fence.
I think that's what Chip said would be sufficient.
That's one
recommendation.
One way to repair that would be so because you can see through the cyclone fence. What
right.
You can't see through is when the wood slats block the view.
And when the gentleman bought your property, the city bought your property and they told you you could keep your fence there, it did not have the slats in it at that time, did it?
I don't think so.
Okay. So that's probably the best solution for that.
The committee in compliance with the city. it so he comes in compliance with the city.
That would be how you'd have to, if they have to took the slats out, probably.
Right.
Well, someone would have to show me what slats that I need to take out.
Well, I think the officer could probably work with you on that, because once you...
They have a place in the trailer. I think the officer maybe you'd be able to help you place the trailer on the right portion of the property so you can keep your trailer.
Well, once you remedy the violations, you're going to call the officer for an inspection, and he's going to go out there and make sure you're in compliance with everything, so he can also help you address it then.
No problem. So the stuff that I have, I need to do what? You don't give me time to get rid of it? Just what?
They're giving you 60 days.
But there will be no sale there.
Yeah. Sir?
There cannot be no selling of the property there.
And in number three, it says obtain a business tax certificate for an authorized business use in that district.
If he's not going to have one, then that would not apply.
Yeah, so.
Right.
So we leave that in there or take that out?
I think it would be prudent to leave that in there because we're going to bring it back if we continue to have business operating at the location. Right. It's not going to affect, like I said, we're not asking for a fine. We're just asking for an order to ensure future compliance.
Okay. So basically what Mr. Graham, what's going to happen is if we accept the city's recommendation on this, you're going to have 60 days to get everything out of there that they don't want there anymore.
Bring the property in compliance.
After 60 days, if it's not, and then they'll start fining you $25 a day until it is.
Anybody knows per?
Per violation. And we've got a lot of violations here. 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 violations.
And the only thing they have to do is ride by and see you having your stuff out there. You'll be right back here again.
And then what ends up happening, if that violation keeps running, eventually they can assign a lien to your property. So we don't want that. We just want it to be in compliance. And I think what's going to happen is you're going to get 60 days to make that happen.
Right.
The city's not asking to fine you. They just want the property in compliance.
I don't have a problem with that.
All right. So do we have a motion from the board?
I have a motion to accept staff recommendation.
Motion by Donald. No second.
Second.
Giorgio, second. All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Pass unanimous.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you all.
Excuse me. Yes, sir.
Okay, there will be someone to come out so we can...
Yeah, talk to them.
When you get it clean, you can talk to the officer, but when you... You're in compliance, call them out for re-inspection, and they'll either tell you you're in compliance or they'll tell you.
Okay, but I need someone to show me where I need to put the trailer and what slats I need to
take. The officer, Officer Faring.
He'll come out.
He'll come out and help you with that.
Sounds good.
Okay.
Thank you, Mr. Tanner.
If it pleases the board, we have representation here on page 8, which is under your petitions section on your computer. This is a case that has not come before the board. However, their time frame has expired. So, what they are requesting is for an extension. They've requested an extension of 60 days. The city has agreed to an extension of 180 days, and we feel that would be more appropriate.
Which case?
In this, I apologize. Case CON 120067, City of Ocala versus A&P Investment Properties LLC. The location is 908 North Pine Avenue. And under your petition section, we have a copy of the case photos and a copy of their petition. They're in violation of 110-3 and 110-31.
Oh, okay, I remember this one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
All right, so they want 60, you want to give them 180, is that what you said?
We are prepared to give them 180 days, which is consistent with what we've done in other cases of this nature.
Okay, is the respondent, somebody representing the respondent here?
He has no questions, if we have no questions.
You're okay with the 180 days?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay.
I make a motion, we accept that.
We have a motion to accept, do we have a second?
I'll second.
Second by Donald. Motion was by Giorgio. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Passed unanimous. Thank you. Thank
you. Looking good, Albert. you're not Vernon Arnett, but you're still a pretty man.
There's not many people who recognize who I am.
If it pleases the board, we go to page 5 of the agenda, case CON 120774.
Click on it.
The City of Ocala versus Calvin Sanford Jr. This is a case involving Officer Dwayne Thomas, a location of 2037 West Silver Springs Boulevard, Ocala, Marion County, Florida. A violation of Section 3495, weeds, condition of trash, and other unsightly unsanitary matter. Section 82181, the definition of a dangerous structure, and Section 82182, dangerous building declared a nuisance abatement required. The parcel ID is 2260-150-014. All certified mail has been returned. We posted the property on 5-1-2012 for the notice of violation and 5-29-2012 for the notice of hearing. We did request a structural inspection, which resulted in a score of 25 points and dilapidated by Inspector David Thompson of the Building Department. As a license requirement, we would require a permit to repair or demolish the structure. The summary of findings that Officer Dwayne Thomas located this property and upon arrival observed the property is in violation of the city's code as stated. The structure is dangerous due to its dilapidated condition. Additionally, Officer Thomas requested a structural evaluation by Inspector David Thompson, responding and completing inspection, which resulted in a score of 25 points and dilapidated, requiring major restoration to bring the property up to current Florida Building Code regulations. All attempts by Officer Thomas to have the respondent remedy all violations have not been successful, and the violations remain. Officer Thomas is here and prepared to answer any questions that you may have. Staff has a recommendation.
Is the respondent present?
Yes.
Okay, go ahead and read the recommendation, please.
Find the respondent guilty of violating City Code Section 3495, 82181, and 82182. Order to 1, cut and clean up the property, properly removing all junk and debris. Respondent to obtain a building permit within 30 days to bring residents up to all current Florida Building Code regulations within 180 days, or obtain a permit to demolish the structure within 30 days, with all demolition and cleanup of this debris to be completed within 60 days. And 3, pay the cost of prosecution of the case as assessed, all within 30 days, failing which a fine of $25 per day per violation, and the city to do the work utilizing all means required with all costs and fines assessed as a lien. After 90 days of non-payment, refer to the city attorney's office for consideration of foreclosure. Okay. Officer Thomas is here and prepared to answer any questions if you have.
Any questions for the city or Officer Thomas?
And the structural evaluation is if you want to take a look at that, is also in the report.
Okay. Is Calvin Sanford Jr. present?
Just for the record, the structural evaluation is on page 11.
Okay, thanks, Joe. Can you come up and be sworn in, please?
Please raise your right hand. Do you swear or affirm that the evidence you're about to give will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
Yes.
State your name and address for the record.
Calvin Sanford Jr., 5370 Northwest 3rd Street, Ocala, Florida, 34482.
Thank you.
And Mr. Sanford, can you tell us what your intentions are for the property?
The house belongs to Select Portfolio Servicing. They've already begun foreclosure proceedings on the house. I spoke with the officer regarding, I was trying to save the house out of foreclosure, but I don't think they're going to let me do it.
Okay. So we've got, this is going back to the bank.
Once that list pendants is filed, we would also include the bank in anything, but right now we have this gentleman, so I guess if he's going to be leaving, we'll take appropriate action within the time frame specified.
Yeah, I mean, right now you're the owner still of record, so you know, it's still your property and you're still responsible for it.
I've done pretty much everything I can do to the property. I've had the grass cut. If you look at it, when me and him had discussed it, they had started taking the siding off the house. So I went down. I had a friend of mine pack the siding back up. Mm-hmm. They in turn came back and stole all the siding off the house. So yeah. Now, you know, I'm trying to keep in compliance a house that I no longer own, pretty much. You know, I go and spend a lot of money trying to save a house that the bank is going to take.
Yeah.
That doesn't make any sense.
Right.
And if the bank would let me save the house, then I wouldn't mind spending the money to save it.
Right. I hear what you're saying.
I'm like, and when I spoke with him, I told him, I said, you know, if they let me save the house, I'll fix it. But the more I try to fix it, the more people are breaking into the house and destroying it.
Right.
And then they came and they stole all the siding off the house.
Yeah, you're in a bit of a spot.
You're in a pickle.
So it's like, I asked him, I went and got trespassing signs. They took the trespassing signs down. So, and I'm a disabled veteran. Mm-hmm. I live off a pension.
Right.
So my money is very limited. I would actually have to obtain a loan in order to fix the problem.
Right.
But I would only do that if the bank said, yeah, you can keep it.
So if we're to proceed with this, I mean, if it's going to go to Les Penance, and then the bank gets stuck with the lien, right?
Yes, sir.
All right.
Well, that's one we'd be ahead on.
For a change.
The problem is it's going to, if you own any other real property other than this?
No, I do not.
Okay. There'll be a lien on any property in Marion County.
Right. Well, I don't.
That was the only property that I owned, and unfortunately, when I had to have surgery, and that was it.
Okay. Well, you're in a pickle, no doubt about it. But if you don't have any other property, it won't matter. It won't really affect you.
But I mean, in the future, if I did get property, now I'm stuck with a fine.
No, what's happened is once the bank forecloses on it, the lien goes to the bank. The lien is on the property and goes to the bank, so it won't be on your name anymore. So, you know.
Maybe the banks put you in the position.
I guess it's a timing thing. Like, if you went out before the bank took possession of it, there was a lien against it, and then you would have property in Marion County, and it would go with you. So, it's a timing thing.
What have they done as far as foreclosure, the bank?
The last time I spoke with them, which was 30 days ago, they had me submit all this paperwork modify the loan on the home. They had me submit all my financials, everything. They were supposed to get back with me to let me know whether or not they were going to approve it. I haven't heard from them. I'm waiting to hear from them to see if they're going to approve it. The last time I spoke with them was 30 days ago. And, you know, every time I hear from them, I call and say, hey, this is what they're doing. And until they tell me definitively, yes, you can keep the property, I told them I'm not going to put a lot of money into it because it just wouldn't make sense.
Yeah, we understand.
As a friend of the board and to the respondent here, let me also remind him and the board that he does have some time here. Mm-hmm. And if he gets some information from the bank that changes his current situation, he can always request additional time at Massey hearing. You know, we have another hearing before we're going to do anything here. If he has more information to add or is in a better position with the bank at that time, he can present that at that time and get additional time.
Sure.
I think for us.
Well, we got to have something in motion.
Unfortunately, we do.
Okay. Does he realize what it's going to entail to take that house and fix it up?
I don't know. The structural evaluation did not come back very well. The building inspector says there's a lot of work that has to be done there, so you may want to take that into consideration, too.
Right.
I don't know what your current investment is into the property, but you may want to just put the bank out.
You're pretty much going to turn your back on it at this point and walk away. And
That's what needs to be done. And,
he's got some decisions to make.
I'm not going to spend that kind of money.
Because the question.
Do we have any more questions for the city or for Mr. Sanford? Okay, do we have a motion?
I have a motion that we accept staff recommendation.
Motion from Donald. Do we have a second from Albertine?
Yes, sir.
I have a second from Albertine Brown. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. All opposed? It passes unanimous. So, Chip, is he going to get a copy of this?
He'll get a copy.
If you hear from the bank, sir, Please let the, code enforcement officers know.
Yeah, immediately.
Please.
Yeah, if you get some information that changes.
Okay.
Thank you, sir. Good luck to you.
Yeah, good luck.
But please, the board, we go to page 2 of the agenda. CON 120962. This is a case of the City of Ocala versus Central Florida Boxing LLC, CLD Properties LTD, and CLD Properties LLP. A location of 1032 Southwest 1st Avenue, the violation of Section 6261, Levy, 6262, Business Tax Certificate, 6266, Delinquency Penalties for Engaging in Business Without a Certificate, and 6278, Tax Constitutes a Debt to the City. The location, the parcel ID is 28566-000-03. Legal service was obtained as noted. We posted the property as noted. We have included a copy of the SunBiz report, and we would require a business tax certificate. The summary of findings that Officer Dan Baker received this complaint from the one-stop permitting section of the city, advising the business is operating without a required business tax certificate. Officer Baker responded to the business location, observed they are still in business at the location, left word for them to contact him concerning this incident. All attempts by Officer Baker to have the respondent remedy the violation have been unsuccessful, and the violation remains. We have a staff recommendation at the bottom of page 2 of your presentation. I would point out for the record that there is no representation here this evening for this case, and I'm prepared to answer any questions you may have.
Okay. I make a motion we accept staff recommendation.
Motion by Giorgio. Do we have a second?
I'll second.
Second by Donald. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Is that unanimous?
Yep.
Okay.
Aye.
That'll take us to page 3 of the agenda at the top, case CON 120965. Case of the City of Ocala versus Zippy's Cleaning and Lawn Care. Racy Cruz Jr., the owner, and Racy Q. Cruz Jr. and Vakaya D. Cruz. This is a case involving Officer Dan Baker. The location is 2312 Southwest 7th Place, Ocala, Marion County, Florida. A violation of 6261, 6262, 6266, and 6278. The parcel ID is 2260-199-010. Legal service has been obtained, and we posted the property as noted. And we would require a business tax certificate as here as well. The summary of findings that Officer Dan Baker received this complaint from the one-stop permitting section of the city, advising the business is operating without a required business tax certificate. Officer Baker responded to the business location, observed they're still in business at the location, left word for them to contact him concerning the incident. All attempts by Officer Baker to have the respondents remedy the violation have been unsuccessful, and the violation remains. I would point out for the record that we have no respondent here this evening for this case, and a staff recommendation is at the bottom of page 2 of your presentation.
Chip, when was the last time this location was visited?
I would have to look here for you, sir.
Just the last photo is May 24th.
Yeah.
Look in the officer's report here. Officer Baker's last occurrence there was at May 24th. Yes, sir.
Okay, but there's no record that anything's been done on this?
No, sir. And I would point out we are running late for cases appearing at the board. A board member.
All right, dance break.
I would report for the record that Officer Leibfried checked it with the business tax office today, and they still have made no attempt to resolve it.
I make a motion we accept that recommendation.
Motion by Giorgio.
I'll second.
Second by Donald. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
That'll bring us to the middle of page 3 of the agenda.
That passed unanimous.
Case CON 120970. Case of the City of Ocala versus Herbert Robertson in the estate of Herbert M. Mack, care of Beverly Mack Johnson. a location of 1212 Southwest 2nd Street, Ocala, Marion County, Florida, a violation of section 6261, 6262, 6266, and 6278. The parcel ID is 2854-053-019. Legal service has been obtained, and we legally posted the property as noted in your presentation. We would require a business tax certificate. The summary of findings that Officer Dan Baker received this complaint from the one-stop permitting section of the city, advising that this business is operating without a business tax certificate as required. Officer Baker responded to the business location, observed they are still in business at the location, left word for them to contact him concerning this incident. All attempts by Officer Baker to have the response remedy the violation have not been successful, and the violation remains. But point out for the record that we have no respondent here to answer this evening. We have a staff recommendation at the bottom of page 2 of your presentation.
Is this just for tax
business tax certificate.
What kind of business is
run there? What
about
the stuff in the front there?
Well,
does anybody know?
I know that Officer Liebfried did check, and they still owe, but it's just some sort of a home occupation.
This is the administrative office for this business.
Okay.
Yeah, but what about the stuff that's in front? Is that junk?
It looks like
fertilizer or something, yeah.
But so they've had an occupational license before?
Yes, sir.
At this residence, and it just didn't renew, so we're assuming that they're... I mean, we didn't... Did anybody talk to them?
They have made no attempt to resolve the situation with Officer Baker. He left word for them to contact him. We also posted the property.
Because we don't even know if they're still doing that job. They might just not have renewed it because they're not doing it anymore. We have no idea.
Well, they do have a place that they can mark on their form when it comes to them that says they're no longer in that business. Please close the... We do give them many, 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 many opportunities before we bring them to the board.
So I guess we have to assume that they're still in business until they tell us they're not, and they haven't communicated with us, so.
So make a motion that we accept it. Staff recommendation.
Motion from Giorgio to accept the staff recommendation. We have a second.
A second.
A second by Albertine. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Passed unanimous.
That'll bring us to page 4 of the agenda in the middle. C-112-0860. This is a case of the City of Ocala versus Kenneth D. Rains and Bank of America. The location is 5401 Northeast 12th Street, Ocala, Marion County, Florida. This is a case involving Officer Lorraine Kennedy, a violation of Section 3495, weeds, accumulation of trash, and other unsightly unsanitary matter. The parcel ID is 2720-006-029.
Wow.
Legal service has been obtained, and we posted the property as indicated in the presentation. Additional correspondence is that we have a copy of their property registration, their less pendants, assignment of mortgage, and a SunBiz report. The summary of findings that Officer Lorraine Kennedy located this property and upon arrival observed the property is in violation of the city's code and that it is overgrown and contains junk and debris. Additional investigation revealed the property is in foreclosure and Officer Kennedy added the bank to the case. Work by Officer Kennedy enabled the registration requirement violation to be cleared by the bank. However, the other violations have not been remedied. All attempts by Officer Kennedy to have the respondents remedy the violation have not been successful, and the violation remains. As part of your presentation, we have included pictures of the location as it looks. Officer Kennedy is prepared to answer any questions you may have concerning this property and the violations contained therein. As you can see, it appears to be a nuisance in the neighborhood. We do have a staff recommendation at the bottom of page 2 of your presentation, and we're prepared to answer any questions you may have.
So it looks like somebody went in and closed up the hole. Is that right?
That's why it's not an 81.
Yes, sir. That's why we have not, they have secured the property. Okay.
But all the rest of the debris is still left around the house?
Yes.
Okay.
All right. We have a motion?
The motion is accept staff recommendation.
Second.
Second by Giorgio. All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Passed unanimous.
That'll bring us to the next case at the bottom of page 4. However, they have entered a petition in this case, which if the board rules favorably upon, we would not present this case. So if you would like to go to the petition, the city does support their petition, which would find them not guilty, relieve them of their fine, their late fine, and they would just pay their business tax certificate and proceed upon their business.
Okay.
But what?
I'm sorry. COM 120918 is the case. However, I would like for you to go to the petition section. And if you grant their petition, then I don't have to present this case.
Well, actually, we would, because the petition only apply if they're found guilty.
Well, no, actually, you can relieve them of their, this board can relieve them of the necessity to pay the, like we have in many cases, this is a first-time offender. They've agreed that they would pay their business tax certificate. They just want relief of the additional $125 fine because they're late.
Okay, so.
And it's been our practice to grant that on the first time in cases. So if we grant the petition for the extension of compliance,
okay, but in the,
to 10 days past or 14 days past this date.
Okay, but in the case, it says that the delinquent taxes due are $318.75. Does that include the $125?
That does. So if they just, I think the best way for the board to rule on this petition would be that you release them of their fine, and then they would just be required to pay their business tax.
Well, we just do guilty on the case and reduce the tax due to $193.75.
If you want me to present the case, then I would do that.
Or, you know.
If the board grants them the extension like the city is recommending, then we would not have to present the case. They would just pay what they owe, and they would be done. Which,
well, the $193.75 is what they owe, right?
I can't exactly testify to that, because when they go in there, they're going to add up. They're still going to be paying a percentage of each of the months up to January.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's 10% the first month that it's late, and then it goes down to like 5%. So they'll have to recalculate fees based upon the board order. If you relieve them of the $125 fine, then the permits office will recalculate their fees to make sure they have the exact right amount. I believe you're correct.
Okay, so we could write that into the order.
Yes, sir. Just okay. Relieving them of the $125 fine and extending them for 14 days.
Okay. Is that all they want is 14 days?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
I'll make that motion.
Okay, so we have recommendation motion, adding that they will relieve them of the fine of $125 if paid within 14 days.
Yes, sir.
Okay. Okay, that's the motion made by Giorgio.
I'll second.
We have a second by Donald. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Okay, so I don't.
And that will remove the board case COM 120918.
From
in
the
favor
petition.
Of the petition.
Okay, so I don't need to do anything with this petition.
No, sir.
Okay. Carol, you can have that.
We cannot summarily relieve someone of a fine, but you can.
Right. I'm sure.
That'll bring us to the top of page 5 of the agenda.
I wonder why I was having so much trouble with this thing. It's right-handed click.
How old
is it? This thing ain't working. It's
right-handed. The top of page 5 is COM 120919, a case involving the city of Ocala versus Officer Lorraine Kennedy versus David McPhail and Deborah McPhail and Chase Home Finance. This is a violation of section 3432, and the location is 2141 Northeast 9th Street, Ocala, Marion County, Florida. The parcel ID is 2830-013-014. All certified mail has been returned, and the property was posted as indicated on your exhibits. As additional correspondence, we've included a copy of the Les Pendants, the property registration, and the SunBiz report. The summary of findings, here to catch up, are that Officer Lorraine Kennedy located this property and upon arrival observed the property is in violation of the city's code and that it has a standing water collection. Additional investigation revealed the property is in foreclosure and Officer Kennedy added the bank to the case. Work by officer can be enabled the registration requirement violation to be cleared by the bank, but not the standing water violation. All attempts by Officer Kennedy to have the respondents remedy the violation have not been successful and the violation remains. As part of your presentation, we've included photographs of the location as it stands up there now. Staff has a recommendation at the bottom of page 2 of your presentation, and Officer Kennedy is prepared to answer any questions.
Is there a secure fence around there, Ron?
That would be Officer Kennedy to answer that one.
Yeah, barriers in place. And they're mowing the grass, but they have to recover the pool.
Okay. All right. Do we have a motion?
A motion to accept staff recommendation.
Second.
Second by Giorgio. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Pass unanimous.
That'll bring us to the bottom of page 5 of the agenda. CON 12-1307. This is a case involving Officer James Vo, the City of Ocala, versus James and Virginia O'Neill Revocable Trust and James O'Neill Jr. Trust, a location at 1306 Southeast 15th Street, Ocala, Marion County, Florida. A violation of Section 3495, Section 34121, the definition of abandoned and derelict vehicle, and Section 34122, abandoned or derelict vehicles. The parcel ID is 2936-004-020. All certified mail has been returned. We've posted the property as indicated in your presentation, and the summary of findings that Officer James Vo responded to this location due to a neighbor's complaint, and upon arrival observed the property is in violation of the city's code and that it is overgrown, contains junk and debris, and has an abandoned and derelict vehicle. All attempts by Officer Vo to have the respondents remedy all violations have not been successful, and the violation remains. As part of your presentation, we've included photographs of the current condition at the location. Officer Vo is prepared to answer any questions that you may have. And we have a staff recommendation at the bottom of page 2 of your presentation.
Is the respondent present?
We have no representation this evening for the respondent at this time.
The record reflects so.
It's not occupied.
Officer Vo would have to answer that question.
Is it occupied?
The property is vacant. Okay, we heard the evidence. Do we have a motion?
We have a motion to accept staff recommendation.
Motion from Donald. Second?
Second.
By Albertine?
Yes, sir. Albertine.
Okay, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Passed unanimous.
That's going to bring us to petition section. Now, there are 5 cases represented by 1 petition. However, we've listed them separately here so that you could look at the various photographs in the case if you chose to do so. We have a letter from the attorney here for Aquin Loan Services that wants the city to dismiss all fines and levies and liens. I would have to yield to the city attorney here. They're saying that because they are going to give up title to this property, they were told they didn't have to take care of any of these liens.
That right?
So I would allow the city attorney to advise the board.
Who did they say told them?
They can't advise us that. I've questioned everyone in my office and no one says that they told them that or that they ever tell someone that everything will just be summarily wiped out. This was a very troublesome property.
As long as they own it, they're responsible. So
the city would move that the city would respectfully request that we not wipe out all of these liens. The city has had to make numerous trips here. They've had to spend a lot of money to destroy a house that was burned out on the property, as indicated in the photographs, and the city would respectfully request a denial of this petition.
I make a motion we go with the city's recommendation.
Yeah, I mean, we've got, okay, that's fine. administrative costs. Did we do any work on the property?
We've done a lot of work. We had to take the house down.
We have photos of it actually burning.
Yes, sir. We responded while it was burning.
Which one's that? I'm going to see
that. The first, man.
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
In fact, it was a very difficult fire. The fire department had a lot of problem at this fire. In fact, one of their guys was injured fighting this fire. Not horribly injured, but
injured.
You don't want any of them to have a problem.
Tell me about it.
That's too bad. The roof looked good.
I think that they need to come up with a better plan than just walk away. That's my opinion.
I don't see why we should just walk away. Nope. I mean, it'd be my opinion we should deny it as well. So
we already have a motion on it.
Yeah, we have a motion to deny the petition.
Okay, we got a motion to deny by Donald. Do we have a second?
I had made the motion.
We have a second by Kyle.
I had made the motion before, but that's all right.
Oh, you did?
No, it's all right. Go ahead.
All right. Okay.
Keep it as it is.
I didn't hear you.
It's all right.
I was at the lake this weekend. I got water in this here. I can't get it out. I wonder what this buzzing voice to my right is on. Okay, so we have a motion by Donald.
Yeah.
And a second by Kyle.
Yeah.
Our newest member.
Yeah.
To deny the petition. All in favor?
Aye.
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 Okay, so the motion to deny is passed unanimous.
That'll bring us to old business. The city would respectfully request to run this as a consent agenda item for non-compliance or Massey hearing. The cases are listed on the agenda. I would attest to the board that each of these cases are in non-compliance. We have an affidavit of non-compliance attached to the case files. We're prepared to answer any questions if you have any.
Okay, do we have a motion to accept?
I'll put the motion to accept.
Okay.
Second.
Motion by Donald, second by Giorgio. All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Passed unanimous. Do we have any other comments?
I do have some additional comments, if I may, have your indulgence for a few moments.
Sure.
The city is recrafting the nuisance abatement ordinance. What they would like for the code board to do would be to put on another hat as the nuisance abatement board. I didn't feel that there would be any problem for our board to handle this. We're very familiar with code, we're very familiar with the presenting of evidence, and we understand making orders and things of that nature. It would be a little bit different in the way things are presented to you, in that the police department, I would of course open the case, the police department would present their evidence to you, and then you could make a ruling based upon a recommendation. You would still have your staff attorney present, and I believe he'd like to address you about this this change.
Yeah, I think Chief Graham was the deputy chief, he used the nuisance board quite frequently. The nuisance board, abatement board by code has been city council. Apparently some of the council, we've had a couple of hearings already. They take half hour, 45 minutes typically.
They do it.
When it's in front of council. Well, in the last one, they hire a lawyer and everything. The fines are pretty significant, $250 per each violation, $500 per repeats. It's usually hotels. It only deals with prostitution,
and drugs,
and gang activity, and dealing in stolen goods, those four crimes. I've never had a gang activity or dealing in stolen goods, but they're typically prostitution and drug-related activities. So the police department is being more aggressive about it again. And it's usually these hotels that rent transients and people that rent property owners that have like apartments and houses that the houses have been used as the drug houses or prostitution houses. So they're pretty interesting. I think you'll enjoy them, but they're a little bit more lengthy and in depth than a typical code thing. So when council, it comes up for council's consideration, I'd like to be able to tell them if y'all been informed of it, and either you're interested in doing it or you're not, but I'd like to tell them that you are. I think I know that y'all are more than capable of dealing with it. So
Well, I think
Is this the same night that we're here?
The one thing you need to know is they're probably going to make a meeting once a month if they have a nuisance abatement board.
Oh, we're here now.
It'll probably be another half hour longer.
Yeah, if you want to tell the city council, we'd be interested in taking that.
Yes.
Come on, I think we'd be okay with that.
Yeah, how about you?
We don't need to really.
And we would run it similar to the way we have to run the construction board of examiners and appeals. You know, we just say that we're going to do this now.
Right.
And then we would close that and then open the code board session, just like we do in the board of examiners and appeals for construction.
Same time? It'll be the same.
Yes, sir. I think that we would probably be able to do this within our time constraints. It gets a little more convoluted when it's before council because they're not familiar with how to do the things that you all do routinely, and they don't all often get these cases. So we've had two on the same place in the last 6 months, but
y'all would probably be faster than they are. So
we'd be faster than they are, you think?
I think so. Yeah.
Okay.
So yeah, but, we wanted to make sure we discussed it and had an open discussion with the board prior to going to council.
I don't have any problem with it.
We appreciate
the board's feeling that. You have no problem with that? I'll report all that.
We appreciate bringing that before us, and yes, you have our blessing to go to council and tell them we'd be more than happy to do
it. And it can only go before the code enforcement board. It cannot go before the special magistrate.
Ooh, that's even better.
The second thing I wanted to bring up was there has been a change to notice requirements, and so as we notice folks through certified mail, and what I'll probably do is send you all the legal spiel of it. Obviously, we cannot present someone from the post office who delivered a letter parcel, or someone from the post office who can tell you all how certified mail is processed by the post office and all of that. Mm-hmm. It was determined that the person generally coming before the board should have an opportunity to question all people involved in their board. So what they did was change the law to say that we no longer have to maintain that notice. What we would do is send the notice out certified. Our admin assistants would make an affidavit of certified mail that they sent it out, here's the numbers they sent and to whom they sent it to.
Right.
That would be included in your case file. We then have to wait 30 days. At the end of the 30 days, we can then post the property, but we have to wait 10 more days after that. So you can see what happens to our caseload.
Mm-hmm.
We get extended. We're going to discuss with the city attorney what we were thinking to do to help resolve some of the time frame, because as you know, sometimes we come before you with things that are more urgent than 40 days on a notice of violation and then another 40 days for a notice of hearing.
Right.
That almost takes things out considerably longer. What we were entertaining to do would be to send our notice of violation certified with a notice of hearing. And it would just say, here's your notice of violation. If you don't take care of it by this date and time, your hearing will be at this date. So it would be a notice of violation / notice to appear. So that's how we're going to try to approach this. I don't know that there's any legal ramification there, but I'm just letting you know. It may change your presentation around a little bit. We won't have to have all that stuff from the post office listed in there. We'll have an affidavit instead.
Right.
And if you have any questions concerning that, I'll certainly discuss that.
Yeah, it'll make it simpler at the same time.
It may actually be better if we can accomplish a notice of violation and a notice appear to appear, because then that would effectively eliminate half of our certified mail bill.
Yeah.
Which we spend more than $10,000 a year right now in certified mail. So it adds up quickly. Yes, ma'am.
Does that notice of hearing have to be published in a newspaper?
No. We publish at the kiosk downstairs in City Hall, and we would wait the 10 days because this board has authorized us to post rather than publish, which is in Chapter 162 as an option of the board. Each year we come before you all and get an annual motion approving our ability to post. So that's how we cover it.
Okay.
The last thing was just the policies and procedures. I didn't know if you all had a chance to read through those and if you approved of them. And
Well, I read through and I sent you, and then I guess you've redone them, but I don't know if I, did you send me back a?
Yes, your suggestion will be included in the next.
In the next edition.
Next motion, right, which would be in January.
Okay.
Of the year. And I think that's perfectly suitable. We don't have any objection with that.
Okay, great. I appreciate that.
And if that's agreeable to all of you, we'll make an order that you guys approve of the policies and procedures for the Municipal Code Enforcement Board, and we'll be tip-top.
All right.
Probably, it's a living document, so we'll probably be changing that from time to time to add the Contractors Board of Appeal, Examiners and Appeals, and we'll also probably add the Nuisance Abatement Board information in there as well.
Okay.
So if somebody else gets a hold of it, they'll see that you're doing everything the way you're supposed to do it.
Right. Okay. Sounds good.
That's all I have. I would just respectfully request a motion of the board that all of our evidence, testimony, and presentations be included in the record this evening.
Make a motion. We accept.
Motion by Georgia to accept.
I'll
second by Donald. All in favor?
Aye.
Passed unanimous. And last order of business, I guess, is to welcome our new member.
Yes.
It'd be Mary Allen Cully, who goes by Kyle Cully.
Yes, thank
you. And you're welcome. And you've served on other boards?
Board of Adjustment.
Board of Adjustment. She comes to us from Board of Adjustment.
She's familiar with the city.
So we're.
And I'm a realtor.
A realtor.
So I filled out the question.
Great. Well, we're happy to have you. We appreciate
yeah.
you.
Sure do.
For helping us out.
Welcome.
I would also mention that Carol's brother has been transferred to hospice. So any sympathy that we can have for her, we're trying to include for her right now. And we'll probably be working to take up a collection to help her pay some bills.
Yeah.
Yeah. Whatever.
We'll do what we can to help.
It's sure.
Absolutely.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Thank you all very much.
Okay.
Yeah.
That said,
not a record time.